Information, please. Presented each week at this time by Canada Dry, famous the world over for its fine beverages. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been quizzed long enough. Why not be the inquisitors yourselves for a change? Information, please, provides a panel of learned authorities for you to try your stickers on. You send us questions on any subject with the correct answers. You may submit from 1 to 3 original questions per letter. If your question is used, you receive $5 and $10 additional if it stumps the board. So you may win $15 in all. Don't get bothered if our editorial staff changes or edits your question slightly. All questions become the property of Information, Please. Letters with questions are to be addressed to Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York City. And now here's our master of ceremonies, Mr. Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Fadiman.
Thank you, Mr. Cross. Information, Please, as dyed-in-the-wool listeners know, is an unrehearsed and go-as-you-please program. Its two anchor men are Franklin P. Adams, columnist of the New York Post, and John Kieran, sports expert, the extent of whose knowledge becomes more unbelievable every week. As guests tonight, we have two unique personalities. The world-famous author, lecturer, and radio commentator, Hendrik Willem van Loon, and that master of slightly lunatic but always witty verse, Ogden Nash. Mr. Nash's most recent book is called I'm a Stranger Here Myself, a title which may prove descriptive of the situation he finds himself in tonight. And now, gentlemen experts, remember, if you know the answer, raise your hand. If you miss an answer, Canada Dry's cash register will miss $10. Just like that. And now I'm ready to fire. The first question, which comes from Mr. David Ornstein of New York City, is the following. Mr. Ornstein wants you to name 5 songs or literary works, subtle distinction, whose titles contain articles useful in the household other than furniture. Any article useful in the household except furniture. 5 titles. Mr. Kieran.
The hat my dear old father wore.
Yes, it's more useful outside of the house. Which is it useful, the hat or the father?
That debate is still going on.
Yes, well, the father, of course, is a very, very useful article in the household. Probably the most useful, Mr. Van Loon.
Who put his overalls in Mrs. Murphy's trousers?
It's an interesting question, but is it a song? Is it a song?
Yes.
Mr. Adams, is that a song?
That's a song.
All right, that's 2. Mr. Adams, you had one.
Come put me in my little bed.
Oh, that's a cute one. I like that.
Yes, it is.
That's very nice.
I'm tired now and sleepy, too. Come put me in my little
bed.
But
wouldn't you call a bed an article of furniture?
Yes.
Well, now, do you want to withdraw from this fight and just come back again? Other than articles of furniture.
Oh, others?
Yes, other than.
I apologize.
That's quite all right. We needn't be as polite as all this, Mr. Adams. We know each other quite well. That's 2 so far. Mr. Nash, you had one.
I had one. It turns out to be an article of furniture. The clock stopped, never to tick again.
Well, I think I'd allow a clock to be other than an article of furniture. One thinks of chairs and tables and that sort of thing as articles of furniture. That's pretty good.
My grandfather's clock is the name of it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Adams. You're coming back strong. That's 3. We have to get 2 more. This shouldn't be so hard. Mr. Kieran.
Well, there's a song about either walking up or going down those golden stairs.
Yes, that's right. Stairs, I think, are not articles of furniture, unless they're movable.
Not in our house.
No, not in our house. That's 4. Mr. Adams, did you have another one?
Just clothing?
Well, useful in the household. That's rather far-fetched.
No,
you want to fetch far this evening, Mr. Adams? Let's do a little better than clothing. How about something in the kitchen? Think of things useful. You've been in the kitchen, gentlemen. Think of some things that are useful in the kitchen. Mr. Adams.
There's any song from Tin Pan Alley.
Yes, but you've got a name. How about Sink or Swim by Horatio Alger, for example? Don't like that one? All right. Do better. Mr. Kieran.
The fire music from De Walkyrie.
Oh, fire. Oh, I see. Very good. Very good. Very high grade. Mr. Yeah. Adams, do you have one?
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan. Fine. Thanks very much. All right. The next question, coming all the way from Ontario, Canada, from Mr. L. Matthews. Mr. Matthews wants to know, what news event of 1938, that was last year, Mr. Van Loon, What news event of 1938 do the following captions bring to mind? 1. New York World's Fair ambassador traveled 14,824 miles.
That's
the way. Mr. Van Loan?
That's the Whalen story.
That wasn't what I was after, though. New York World's Fair ambassador traveled 14,824 miles. What news event does that suggest? Mr. Nash?
That wouldn't have been Mr. Douglas Corrigan.
No, not
quite. It was another World's Fair.
It was Mr. Howard Hughes' flight in the monoplane, the New York World's Fair.
I guess
don't you remember? He started on July 10th. You remember
none of us remember after
don't
Mr.
Remember
Corrigan, not after Mr. Corrigan.
Very important flight. Started on July 10th and completed only 3 days afterward. 3 and a half, I guess it was.
Did he do it all at night?
No. He worked day and night. Very short trip. Hardly worthwhile. Well, that's one wrong. What can you do with this one? Foreign invader vanquished in less than 3 minutes. Mr. Kieran.
That was the fall of Mr. Schmeling.
Yes. Who felled him?
Mr. J. Lewis Barrow. Heavily.
I beg pardon?
J. Lewis Barrow.
J. Lewis Barrow.
Felled him heavily.
Oh, felled him heavily. And how long did it take him to do it? You can use
a split
second. I don't
remember the exact time.
It was smaller than that.
About
oh, yeah,
2 minutes and 19 seconds, would
something,
that be
something like that, yeah. Don't ask me. That's right. 3. Bad liver proves fatal to reckless life of foreign president. Mr. Van Loan.
Turkey.
Well, you have to give us a little more than merely
Kemal Pasha, at the Turk.
What happened to him?
Oh, well, he had worked hard for all his life to die that miserable death, having partaken a great deal of alcohol not permitted by the Koran, but partaking thereof just the same, and he finally died.
Very nice, Mr. Van Loan.
Mild case of delirium, 3 months.
I don't want to interrupt you, Mr. Van Loan, but as long as I have you here, would you tell me why Kemal Atatürk was always pictured in a dinner jacket? He always was, wasn't he? I've never seen him anything else in a dinner jacket.
Yeah, or in his DVDs. I mean, he went to one extreme.
Well,
later.
I think there is a difference.
Well, he never worn one as a child, so as soon as he got, he sent to Eden and rented one and always wore it. I don't
that
know.
Made it. Was it the same one all the time?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I
always thought he might have worn the dinner jacket in order to propagandize for Western customs, in order that he might always be seen in a Western costume.
No, he probably had a better figure than me. He looked well in it.
Well, the first part of that's no doubt true. All right, very good. 4. President receives honorary degree from Queen while King applauds. Gosh, the things you folks out there think up. President receives honorary degree from Queen while King applauds. Tough one. And Mr. Nash.
Did Mr. Roosevelt receive a degree when he went up to...
I'm asking you.
I think Mr. Roosevelt received a degree when he went up to Canada at that time and made a speech about Canadian and American friendship.
Yes. Well, what is the reference to Queen and
I think it
King?
Probably would have been Queen's College.
Queen's
University,
very good. And
I suppose
who was one of the
King
auditors?
Would be the king that we're expecting to see over here in the spring.
No, it was Prime Minister Mackenzie King who listened to him, was one of the auditors, and who applauded.
Do you think King George was mad?
Well, I think King George just over the other side, that's all. We couldn't ring him in time. Well, that's right enough, I think. How about this? This is the last. Big cleanup of adenoids and tonsils. Big cleanup of adenoids and tonsils, Mr. Adams.
The quintuplets.
Yep. Adenoids and tonsils removed. That's right.
Had 10 tonsils. 10 little tonsils and 10 little toes.
Yes, that's right. All right.
How about that song goes? I don't know.
That's all we were asked to get.
Do they have sound effects on them?
The removal of the adenoids? I don't think so. Just an ordinary Canadian cut. From Robert Adams of East Lansing, Michigan, Mr. Adams wants you to do the following. He wants you to identify and quote two lines from the original of the poems which I'm now going to parody. There are three parodies, and you have to give me the original and two lines from the original. 1. A boulder by a larger stone, half hidden in the mud, fair as a man when only one is in the neighborhood. Miss Adams.
Lucy Gray.
How about two lines? Unless you split that in half, it hardly makes two lines.
She lived unknown and few could know when Lucy ceased to be.
Yes, those are two lines. The lines that are parodied more directly are a violet by a mossy stone.
Half hidden from the eye.
Go ahead with that.
There is a star when only one is shining in the sky.
Very good, Mr. Adams. Very good. All right, what can you do with it? Out of the clothes that cover me, tight as the skin is. All right, Mr. Kieran.
Out of the night that covers me, black as a pit from pole to pole.
Yes, from whom? Who wrote it?
William Ernest Henley.
Yes, what's the name of the poem? Invictus, quite correct. What can you do with it?
You know who wrote the original?
The original
the one you quoted?
Wordsworth.
William Ernest Henley.
No, no. The one, the parody.
No. Do you know, Mr. Adams?
Yes, sir, I did.
Well, thank you very much. Nice to have you get in on this program once in a while, Mr. Adams. A very good parody. I don't think you wrote this one, though, did you, Mr. Adams? Of the skin, he made in mittens, made them with the fur side inside, made them with the skin side outside, had to get the warm side inside, put the inside skin side outside.
Author unknown.
Yes, but what is the poem parody?
Hiawatha.
Hiawatha, yes. He had mittens, Minja Carwan, magic mittens made of deerskin. Hiawatha was written by?
H.W. Longfellow.
Very nice, Mr. Adams. Couldn't claim that one, could you? See if we can get them down on this. Mr. Roy Harris Russ of Elizabeth, New Jersey, propounds the following. Suppose we take the phrase, whose meaning you all know, mad money. Any of you not know what the phrase mad money means? Of course, you all know what it means. Now, name four other insane objects, like mad money, using a different word for insane each time. Is that absolutely clear as mud? All right.
Different words for insane.
Different words for insane. Insane objects. So you have to use metaphors, figures of speech, as mad money. Mad money is one of them. I'll give you one more, which will give you the idea. All right, Mr. Adams.
Crazy with the heat.
Yes, it's not quite an object, though. I don't think I'll let that by, if you don't mind. You don't mind if I'm a little bad-natured about that?
Oh, I expect it.
Mr. Van Loo.
How about Silly Billy for a King of England?
Silly Billy for King of England. Is that generally used?
Silly Billy, yes.
No. Yeah? I don't think that would be a metaphor. That would be a more or less of an exact designation. Do you see what I mean? That's a rather serious phrase. Mr. Kieran.
Well, you mean something like screwball?
Yeah. Or better than that, something like Nut Sunday. Now that I've got you started.
Offside.
I beg your pardon?
Offside.
No. No, won't take it.
He won.
No, you're giving me synonyms for crazy. You see, I want... Word. I want insane objects like mad money. Buggy ride would be another. Buggy ride. Do you get it, boys? Buggy ride. Mm. Now, Mr. Nash.
Well, with nice, Mr. Adams, crazy quilt.
Crazy quilt. Very good. Did he say that? All right. That's one. That's the first legitimate one we've got so far. How about another? Think of synonyms for mad or insane.
Wild women.
It's a nice idea, Mr. Adams, but I don't think that quite fits into what the question demands. Now, if you can get your mind off that for a moment, Mr. Adams, and give us something else. How about unbalanced budget? Pretty good, eh?
Very good.
Yes, very good. Then I give that. How about another? Guess I'll have to supply
I can only think of who is looning now. I've heard that so often.
Yes, a nice phrase, but it's not what I'm after. Cuckoo clock would be another. Do you get it now? Cuckoo clock? You get it, Mr. Kieran?
Yes, sir.
Well, how about
another
giving me one or two? Locomotive might be another.
Okay.
Don't like that?
Oh, wow. That's
it. Seems to be getting unpopular here. I've got...
Give him the $10.
How about Dottie Parker, Dottie Thompson? How do you like those any better? Daffy Deal.
No, we don't like
don't
any
like
of them.
You want
no.
me to stop? I'll give you one more.
His money.
Old-fashioned molasses, Daffy. All right, $10. That goes out to Mr. Russ of Elizabeth, New Jersey. I'm not so good on that one. Maybe they can do better on this one. This is to Mrs. Roy Carr of Beach Drive, Darien, Connecticut. Identify the persons, whether in fact or in fiction, who were involved in the following meal. Two that wept over a shore dinner. Two that wept over Mr. Nash.
That would be the Walrus and the Carpenter.
Yes. From what book, Mr. Nash?
I always forget whether it's Alice in Wonderland or Alice through the Looking Glass.
Alice through the Looking Glass, Mr. Nash. Very good. A ghost who came to a banquet. A ghost who came to a banquet, Mr. Adams.
Banquo.
Banquo, yes, sir. From what word?
Macbeth.
From Macbeth. By your favorite author. Three.
My second favorite author.
A banquet that made headline news recently. A banquet that made headline news recently. Mr. Adams.
Jackson Day dinner.
Well, yes, that did make headline news. I was thinking of another one, perhaps even more dramatic than that. About several weeks ago. Mr. Nash, you have
it? Would that be the banquet in London which the German newspaper man walked out on, or rather didn't?
Yes, there was a German diplomat who snubbed Mr. Chamberlain at a banquet given for him. Diplomat seems an odd name for them. Four, a meal served to someone who was not allowed to eat a bite. A meal served to someone who was not allowed to eat a bite. That's not so easy.
In the news?
Mr. Van Long.
Well, Jimmy Roosevelt, when he was having an operation.
No, it's not anything in the news. It's a person, in this case, in fiction. Or in imaginative literature. Did you have it, Mr. Van Long, Mr. Kieran?
Well, there's a scene of that kind in The Tempest by Shakespeare.
Where, in The Tempest?
Yes.
Don't recollect it.
Well, that's
you
too
tell
bad, but it's there just the same.
Who doesn't get the food? In the
well, the bad duke or whatever that fired Prospero out of his dukedom comes oh in, and they put a beautiful banquet or something in front oh of them, and at a given signal from Prospero, they vanish heavily.
Oh, yes, that's right. I do remember that now. Did you think of another one, Mr. Banlock?
Yeah, wasn't it in mythology, Sisyphus?
I think Tantalus.
No, that's water. That isn't...
Well, there was some fruit.
Oh,
there
no, there was fruit, too.
Yeah, yeah, that isn't a whole meal.
Bananas, not a whole meal.
Except on the West Coast, citrus fruits. But ordinarily, that's not a whole meal. But that would do, Mr. Gere. That was very good. Now the next one and the last one. A meal consisting of a boiled shoe. Filet of soul, so to speak. Well, Mr. Van Nolan, if you don't like those jokes, how about it?
I got rid of them before we began.
Mr. Adams.
That was in a Chaplin picture.
Yes, the one picture you've seen recently. How about it? Remember what it was? It wasn't a Chaplin picture. What one?
I don't know if the shoulder arms or the other one.
The other one, the other one. The other one you've seen. What was that other one? Do you remember it? Any of you remember a scene in which Mr. Chaplin ate a boiled shoe? Very pathetic scene. I cry when I think of it. It was in the Gold Rush. The Gold Rush, one of his finest pictures.
Wasn't it good King Dagobert, too?
Who ate a boiled shoe?
No, the poor man, he had nothing else to do. He gave him a shoe, and then he gave him his left leg, and then he wanted the right leg, too, and he said, no, leave that for the other fellow.
Don't know.
I think he started his shoe.
Sounds rather nice. Mr. B. Long of San Francisco, California, has worked out the following question. I'm going to ask the pianist to play a group of four folk songs, one at a time. And the experts are asked to name the countries with which each is associated. Just the country. Let's have the first. And also, I don't see why not, the name of the folk song.
The name of the song is All Through the Night.
Yes, and what country is it associated with? All Through the Night is quite correct.
The Bronx, as far as I'm concerned.
No. Well, the Bronx is not a country. The Bronx is more of a state of mind than a country.
Probably Germany.
No, that's quite wrong, Mr. Adams. Though you were very definite about it, still you're definitely wrong. Mr. Van Long.
I think Wales.
Yes, Wales is correct.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry that we'll have to let Mr. Adams count heavily against us, you see? Well, second thoughts on this, not so good. All Through the Night is a Welsh folk song. Now, how about the second one? Got it, gentlemen?
Irish.
No.
Excuse me.
In fact, almost the opposite. English. English. The Raggle Taggle Gypsy, though. Do you remember the song now, Mr. Van Long?
I remember it very well. It's in my... Well, I can't...
Yeah, it's in your book. Sure, that's all right. It's in your book. But isn't it an English song? I believe it is.
I thought everything was Irish that was ever written.
No, perhaps everything but the raggle-taggle gypsies, though, which I believe is English. Oh, let us have the third. Mr. Adams.
France.
France is right. And you remember the name of the folk song? You can let us have it in English, or Mr. Kieran will give it to us in French.
Il était une bergère.
Il était une bergère. Very good, Mr. Van Loan. That's quite right. France is right. And the fourth and last. About a gentleman. Look, what a bewilderment on
well,
Mr. Adams.
Well, say Russian.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Russian?
Russian?
Russian is quite correct. Did you guess at it?
No.
And what is the name of the song? Do you know that? If you don't know it, I'll
Porusky or Porusky.
That is not the name of the song.
No,
I know enough Russian notes.
In the Russian, I mean, I...
Yeah, no, let's have the English.
Oh, well, that's a little difficult to translate.
I'll give it to you in English, because my Russian is very bad on Tuesdays. It's Mother, Do Not Scold Me.
Yeah.
Mother, Do Not Scold Me. We got 2 right out of 4, which is not enough. Mr. B. Long is going to get $10 donated by Canada Dry. Thank you. And now let's see. Canada Dry announces a loss so far of $20. Now, Mr. Cross, have you something to say?
Yes, Mr. Fadiman. I've brought you another quotation tonight.
Cameo, Milton Crossum, et dona ferentes.
Why, Mr. Kieran, you speak Latin.
Yes, I do. I fear Milton Cross bringing gifts.
Thanks for the warning. Now, Mr. Cross, what is this quotation you brought me?
Why, it's this. Until you try Canada Dry, you have no idea how good ginger ale ought to be.
There are 2 words in that quotation, Mr. Cross, that lead me to believe that for once it is not from Shakespeare.
You're quite right. It's taken from an advertisement that appeared many years ago. And since that time, so many people have found Canada Dry to their liking that today this fine beverage is in constant use everywhere. In exclusive hotels and wayside restaurants, in mansions and modest homes. Its delicious taste and its fine quality are the reasons why Canada Dry ginger ale has become a worldwide refreshment. The taste is good because the finest Jamaica ginger is cured slowly by the rays of the tropical sun, which gives the ginger root true flavor and natural aroma. The quality is good because it is made from the purest ingredients, blended under the most exacting care of expert chemists. Absolute purity, delicious flavor, that's what you get in Canada Dry ginger ale. And that's why we suggest that you order Canada Dry tomorrow.
He makes me thirsty.
Yes, he does make you kind of thirsty, doesn't he, Mr. Adams? That was a nice once-over lightly, and it's exactly 59 seconds. Now, suppose we get on with the second half of the program. We'll begin with a question from Mr. E. Wilson of Atlanta, Georgia. What corporation listed on the stock exchange is suggested by the following? I don't know how remote you gentlemen are from following the stock exchange. See what you can do with it. Have to get 3 out of 4. A surf bather in January. A surf bather in January. A corporation listed on the stock exchange... Very large corporation. A test of your wit, gentlemen. Sorry, the answer is speech nut. Speech nut. Get it? Speech nut. Get it? Pretty clever. Pretty clever. All right. What can you do with this one? This is harder. Yankee Hooey. Yankee Hooey. What corporation is suggested by that? Yankee Hooey. Guess I'm the only one that knows the answer to this question. And Mr. Adams, want to guess at it?
No, it's American something.
You're right. You've got half of it. Ought to give you half credit. American Bosch, B-O-S-C-H. Bosch Magneto, would that be right? American Bosch.
Is that pronounced Bosch?
I think it's pronounced Bosch, yes.
Pronounced Bosch, well...
All right, I'll have it your way. 3. Lifeguard fattens at the waist. Lifeguard fattens at the waist. Lifeguard fattens at the waist. All right, I'll give it to you. Don't throw it back at me. Lifesavers Corporation. Lifesavers Corporation. Yeah, that's not very good either.
No.
All right, see what you can do with this one. A quick-witted information, please, expert. That's a trifle ironical. A quick-witted information, please, expert, Mr. Adams.
It couldn't be Karen Express.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. Express, very good. Well, that's only 1 out of 4. And Canada Dry is going to lose $10 on that. Thanks. All right, what can you do with this? Mr. Jacob Friedman of this city sends in this question. What is the probable origin? We're not going to argue too long about it. What is the probable origin of each of the three indicated expressions used by President Roosevelt in his message to Congress? Here are three phrases that he used. What do they come from? The first is, there comes a time in the affairs of... And I forget how it goes on. Mr. Garrett.
That's from Shakespeare.
What are the lines from Shakespeare? From which?
There is a tide in the affairs of men. That something seized...
Taken at the flood.
Taken at the flood.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. Taken at the flood leads on to fortune. That's right. Now, the second
Rough
phrase...
How we will.
That's very good. The second phrase that the president used... Words may be futile, but war is not the only means of commanding a decent respect for the opinions of mankind. I think we all ought to know that one. Mr. Van Loan?
Part of the Declaration of Independence.
Yes, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation from the Declaration of Independence. Thank you, Mr. Van Loan.
And the other one is from Alice in Wonderland.
You mean the one I'm going to read now?
Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
No, I hadn't thought of that one. What are you, a clairvoyant, Mr. Adams?
No.
No, here's a phrase which the president used. Today we are all wiser and sadder. Mr. Nash.
I think that's the Goldsmith poem.
There is a Goldsmith poem using that phrase. That wasn't the one I was thinking of. Mr. Adams?
Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
Yes, what are the two lines?
A fatter and a wiser man, he rose the morrow
very
morning.
Very good. That's very good. That's three out of three. And we, information please, from Canada Dry, invite the president to listen in to us anytime if he wants to get hold of some other good quotations. The next question from Mrs. E.P. Andrews of Belmont, Massachusetts. What foreign flower fancier, what foreign flower fancier has attained national prominence in the United States? What foreign flower fancier?
Still alive?
Me? Yes, certainly.
No, I mean...
Oh, no, yes, I see. The foreign flower fancier.
Well,
why, I don't think I can answer that question. Mr. Van Loan.
Well, does he... Mendel, you mean the Mendelian theory? He raised corn flowers, De Vries, corn flowers, I mean the man of the...
That's all very instructive, but I wouldn't say that Mendel had attained national prominence in the United States.
Well, how about De Vries?
Nope. Won't take that either.
Mutation theory.
No?
I think he's better known than Leon.
What foreign flower fancier, I'm practically the only man in America who can pronounce those three words, has attained national prominence in the United States? Give it up?
No, what do you call a flower fancier? A man who makes beautiful flowers? Or
oh, Ferdinand the Bull, Mr. Van Loan. Ferdinand the Bull. Perfectly easy. That's all for tonight, I'm afraid. Canada Dry announces a loss of exactly $40. Now, in a moment, I'll give you the lineup for next week at this time. But in the meantime, Mr. Cross has a word to say.
If you'd like to conduct an Information Please program in your own home, just as we do here in the studio, write for the Information Please game. This game includes enough questions and answers for four complete programs. Now, listen to the simple directions for getting your copy of the Information Please game. First, remove the large labels from two bottles of any of Canada Dry's many beverages. It's easy to tear off large enough pieces of these labels so we can identify them. Don't be alarmed if the labels aren't perfect. Just mail your labels or pieces of labels with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York City. If you live in Canada, address Canada Dry, Toronto, Canada. But no matter where you live, get your copy of Information Please as soon as possible, because the supply won't last forever. And believe it or not, some people forget to send their own name and address. So please don't make the same omission.
Thank you, Mr. Cross. Ladies and gentlemen, next week at this time, we offer a board of witty experts and expert wits, consisting of our three regular favorites, Mr. Kieran, Mr. Adams, and Mr. Levant. And as our extra special guest of honor, that hard-hitting columnist, master of the unforgettable phrase, a man both of words and action, who has been and still is in the very thick of important American affairs, General Hugh Johnson. I'm just as eager as you are to see how the general will make out on Information Please next week. Now remember, letters with questions are to be addressed to Canada Dry, 1 Pershing Square, New York City.
Canada Dry Ginger Ale, Sparkling Water, Lime Ricky, and Tom Collins Mixer come in convenient-sized bottles for every occasion. These exceptionally fine beverages are kind to your budget, too. For the largest bottle, the family size costs only 15 cents plus usual deposit. And now we bid you all good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.